नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading this evening from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, translated by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, with elaborate purports. Chapter 3, entitled Karma Yoga, text number 11. Everyone can please follow along as best you can.
Devan,
Bhavayatanina,
Te,
Deva,
Bhavayantu,
Vaha, Parasparam,
Bhavayantaha,
Shreyaha,
Param,
Avapsyata,
Devan Bhavayatanena,
Devan Bhavayatanena,
Te Deva Bhavayantuva,
Te Deva Bhavayantuva,
Parasparam Bhavayanta,
Parasparam Bhavayanta,
Shreya Param Avapsyata.
The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Everyone can repeat responsively. The demigods,
being pleased by sacrifices,
will also please you.
And thus,
by cooperation between men and demigods,
prosperity will reign for all.
The purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. The supply of air, light, water, and all other benedictions for maintaining the body and soul of every living entity is entrusted to the demigods, who are innumerable assistants in different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their pleasures and displeasures are dependent on the performance of yajñas by the human being. Some of the yajñas are meant to satisfy particular demigods, but even in so doing, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all yajñas as the chief beneficiary. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna himself is the beneficiary of all kinds of yajñas, bhoktaram yajña tapasam. Therefore, ultimate satisfaction of the yajñapati is the chief purpose of all yajñas. When these yajñas are perfectly performed, naturally the demigods in charge of the different departments of supply are pleased, and there is no scarcity in the supply of natural products. So in the purport, the first half of the purport here, Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna about the universal administrators, otherwise known as demigods. Lord Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, is known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is also described as the summum bonum, the highest truth, the Supreme Person. One word which is loosely used in society is the word God. Practically, the word God simply means controller. In a large family, the grandfather or the patriarch may be thought of by the younger children or whatever as God. In a country, an autocratic ruler may be seen as a kind of God or a controller. In this way, there are many kinds of controllers in society. In the universe, the Bhagavad Gita states that there is life everywhere in the universe. Now, this is not such an unreasonable proposition when we simply look around ourselves. If you look in the water, you find life. You cannot live in the water, but there are living beings in bodies that can exist only in the water. If you look in the air, there are living beings who can exist only in the air, and you cannot live in the air. Just because you cannot live in the air and the water does not mean that there are not living beings who can and who are living. If you look in the ground, you find living beings living always under the ground. So, every place in the universe is populated. Perhaps the life forms that are existing on other planets are not familiar to us. On this planet, our bodies are made of 90% water and carbon and hydrogen and various other chemicals, elements. On other planets, the bodies may be of a different structure. But according to the Bhagavad Gita, Nitya Sarvagata Stanur, the soul can exist anywhere in the universe. Now I'd like to give you a little practical example. Most of us know the prevailing theory, or the previously prevailing theory, that it is not possible for life to exist when the temperature is raised above 212 degrees Fahrenheit, the principle of, what do they call in a hospital, sterilization. The principle of sterilization is to destroy, to kill all the germs, all the tiny viruses or amoebas or whatever, to kill everything so that the instrument is sterilized. So they take that instrument and they put it inside a machine known as an autoclave, and they heat it up to 240 or 250 degrees. So scientists have been saying it for years, life cannot exist in that heat, that temperature. But some years back, there was a crew of scientists on one of those little miniature submarines, wonderful technological things that they are, on the ocean bed, on the surface, at the bottom of the ocean floor. And they were doing research and they happen to pass through pass over a crevice or a crack in the ocean floor. And coming up from that crevice was a jet stream of water, very hot, 662 degrees Fahrenheit, coming from deep down in the earth. They say that it is very hot, right next to hell, whatever. And they took a sample of that water. And because it's a very simple experiment, any first-year chemistry student knows, they took a sample of the water, they took it and put it on a piece of glass, put another glass on top of it, and put it under a microscope. They didn't expect to find anything because everybody knows life cannot exist above 212 degrees Fahrenheit. So they knew there would be no result there, but because the experiment was so simple, they did it anyway, being good scientists like they were. To their great dismay and shock, there were wonderful little organisms swimming about in that drop of water. They were surprised. So they took that same water, a sample, and they put it in their little autoclave, and they heated it up to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. And now they really expected to see a bunch of corpses lying in the water, right? Again, to their great dismay, the life forms had increased 100-fold. They were multiplying like anything. So life is there even in the sun, according to the Vedic scripture. And life is there on every planet. And nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by accident in this world. Only my taxes are increased by accident. Otherwise, nothing happens by accident. I know that if we don't pay our electric bill, I won't be able to have a light to read the Bhagavad Gita here in the evenings. I won't have a microphone. They'll shut off our electricity. Everybody knows. It's common sense. You don't pay your bill, the electricity is shut off. If I don't pay the water bill, if the temple president doesn't pay the water bill, if you, the congregation, don't give us the money to pay the water bill, there'll be a collection before you leave this evening. We won't be able to take a shower tomorrow morning. They'll shut off the water. So we know that we're getting all these facilities because we pay a bill. But then we walk outside and we're getting beautiful light from the sun. We're getting beautiful rays from the moon. We're getting rain from the sky. Oh, there's no bill for that. That's free. That just comes, right? Oh, that's nature. You know, I wish there was the same nature in the electricity department and the water department. No, there is a bill. And there is a person behind it. There are controllers. There are universal controllers. And we may not be able to understand perfectly, and I know that's a great shame because we always thought we could know everything perfectly about everything, but the fact is that we can't. Because we're very small, and we don't even know how the food is being digested in our own stomach. That's how big knowers we are. We're so intelligent, we can't even, you know, organize a little peace and prosperity on our planet. Every day, 40,000 children die from malnutrition, from hunger brought on by malnutrition every day. Every second, a little child is dying. And we're such good organizers and intelligent people. Everything's so messed up on this planet, and yet we think that we can say, well, I don't believe in the demigods, therefore they don't exist. Our ability to see is so limited. If we turn all the lights out in a room, you can't see your hand 2 feet in front of your face. So what is our power for understanding and seeing? We have to be a little rational, a little reasonable. We shouldn't have blind faith, but why should we have blind doubt also? Why don't we, consider some common sense? If there's an electric bill and I have to pay it, if there's a water bill, maybe there happens to be some intelligent living being behind the facilities that nature is giving. Maybe there's something there. Maybe I ought to look into it. I shouldn't just blindly reject it out of hand. And the Vedic scriptures are not, Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales. The Bhagavad Gita was not written by an aborigine. It's a pretty brilliant philosophical treatise on the nature of the soul and the nature of God. So maybe we ought to look into it a little carefully here. And this idea of yajna is a Sanskrit word. Don't get put off by a different language or a different culture. I lived in India for about 20 years myself. And it's amazing the way Indians are, because practically every 20 kilometers, there's a new language, a different language. It's such a diverse country, or at least a different dialect. Maybe same language, but different dialect. And you walk for, 10 kilometers or 20 kilometers, and you can't speak to the people anymore because they don't understand what you're saying practically. But still, I've noticed amazing practice that they have is that they really try to communicate, they don't care if you speak. A lot of times when you speak a new language, you're scared, you're afraid to speak it because you make so many mistakes and you don't want people to laugh at you, Isn't that, it's the worst thing when people start laughing at you and everybody starts laughing at you and you feel so embarrassed, and just want to crawl in a little hole and die, But Indians, they just don't care. They'll go on speaking because they know that the ultimate goal is, I just want to tell you something. And maybe my language is a little different than your language, but, let's get on with the business of communicating. So don't get thrown off by the Sanskrit, because there's really a good message here about the Lord, Jehovah, Krishna, Allah, the Supreme Person, the person who we really want to love, who can solve all our problems, who can bring us beyond the body to a transcendental plane where the soul can live eternally. Soul is eternal. You're going to live eternally whether you want to or not. You see? You can't die. I challenge any one of you. You can't die. See, that's the problem. If you could die, it would be great. You could just cut your throat and it would be over. No more problems. You see? But the problem is you can't die. You gotta live. So might as well live in eternality, knowledge, and bliss, sat chit ananda, rather than asat achit nirananda, which this world is. It's a temporary place. It's full of ignorance. And, there's no bliss here. There's sukh and dukkh, but they're just, one feeds on the other. Just when you think you're enjoying life to the maximum, everything crashes around you. And you suffer more because you're so attached to all that enjoyment that you thought you were experiencing. People who enjoy a lot, they also suffer a lot. When the suffering comes, it hurts more. because they get so attached. I've seen in India, most of the people, it's really, really hot there. How hot does it get here in the summer? Does it get up to 30 degrees sometimes? Is that really a hot day? Huh? 35 sometimes? What's that in Fahrenheit? Anyway, 35. Huh? 90? 95 degrees? In India in the summertime, it's 110. 105. It gets sometimes 115. If you go to Bihar, it's really hot. But most of the 800, 900 million people, they just walk around and it's cool. They drink a few sodas or eat a watermelon or something, and they live with it. But then there's all these big rich businessmen, and they all have their nice air-conditioned offices and their air-conditioned cars and their air-conditioned houses, so they're always in air conditioning. So they never feel the heat. They're in bliss all the time until there's a power shortage. And then they suffer like anything. They cry and scream and spend money and, it's the way it works. You enjoy a lot, you suffer a lot. Sukh and dukkh. Therefore, you know what Krishna says about that? He tells Arjuna, he says, Matra sparshas tu konte asitoshna sukha dukada agama paino nityas tangs te tikshas vabharata. He says, Arjuna, this is the way it is, Arjuna. There's winter and summer. There's hot and cold. There's happiness and distress. Duality. Arjuna, my advice is to you is to tolerate the misery, right? We can all understand that. You just tolerate the misery, right? He's also saying you got to tolerate the happiness. Isn't that strange? You got to tolerate the warm. It's not just the cold shower. You got to tolerate the warm shower too. You got to tolerate the happiness along with the distress. You've got to tolerate the pleasure along with the pain. In other words, your real happiness in life is going to come from love of God, ecstatic union, communion with the Supreme Lord, which grows and grows eternally. That's what you really want. And if you're in the world of dualism, if you're in the world of happiness and distress, what it all boils down to, the supreme ignorance, is that I'm thinking that I am this body. And it goes deep. It goes very deep. So much so that even people who put on saffron robes sometimes get caught up in the bodily conception of life. In other words, even we get entangled, although I'm preaching here very strongly, but Maya or illusion is very powerful because Maya is Krishna's Maya. Daivi hi esha guna mayi mama maya bratyaya. Krishna says mama maya. Not mother, but mama means my. Right? It's not like mama mia or something like that. So. Mama maya. It's different. So, he says bratyaya. Very strong. The illusion. Everybody's thinking. It's crazy. It's madness. People are thinking, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim. That's Maya. You're not a Hindu or a Muslim. You know what Prabhupada used to say? It was funny. He lived in Calcutta during a period where the British created an artificial famine. There's no Britishers here in the room, are there? Sometimes the British government was, they're very diabolical diplomats or, you know, diplomacy. They divide and rule. I mean, it works. It's effective, but sometimes it's, you know, they actually created an artificial famine in India because they wanted to get the Indians to join the army to fight against the Germans. So by joining the army, you got 3 square meals a day. But if you didn't join the army, then you starved. So they created a famine. Many people died, but, you know, they created that situation. And the strain and the stress also caused some troubles between the Hindus and the Muslims. And there were riots in the city of Calcutta. And what happened was, you know, Hindus killed Muslims and Muslims killed Hindus. And Prabhupada said that after the rioting was over and they piled up all the bodies to burn them, nobody could tell whether they were Hindus or Muslims. And it was just some bodies that they were burning. So it's really ridiculous that people get into this bodily conception that I'm a Croatian, I'm a Serbian, I'm a this, I'm a that. And they do all kinds of crazy things to each other, but it's all Maya, illusion. We're spirit soul. We're part of the Lord. We're part of God. We don't belong here in this world. This is an embarrassing place to live. It's a contradiction. I'm eternal, but I have to die. Now, where is that at? You know, I'm eternal, but I've got to die. I'm full of knowledge, but I don't know anything. I'm in ignorance, and I'm part of God, and the quality of God is blissfulness. And I share the same quality. If you take a drop of water out of the ocean, it has the same quality as the rest of the ocean, right? It's just smaller. But there's salt there, there's liquidity, there's little living entities in it, maybe no whales or anything, but, you know, it's like the ocean, it's just a small sample. So I'm equal to God in quality, but foolishly I'm captured by illusion. Because I'm small, there's a tendency to become covered by ignorance. And the whole world is moving under this false conception that we are these bodies. I'm black, I'm white, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm this, I'm that. And until we come out from our darkness, from our illusion, and it may not be that we come out immediately, but we should have a program in our lives. We have many priorities. We have, first of all, we have our own psychophysical nature. We may not be attracted to austerity very much. We may not want to live in an ashram, although if you want to, in business, if you belong to the merchant's chamber, or if you belong to the stock market, to the stock association, it's very easy. If you want to buy something, there's a buyer there immediately. If you want to sell something immediately, you've got a buyer. So it's easier. So if you live closely in the community of Vaishnavas, you can make quicker progress. But even if you can't, still, your goal should be that gradually in my life, I've got my family, I've got my business, I've got so many things that I have to do, I have desires I want to fulfill. Hopefully they're licit, not illicit, not sinful desires. Even if they're sinful desires, we can try to purify those and change those. But the bottom line is we should try to associate with the devotees so that we can go on hearing pure knowledge, so that we can purify our hearts and gradually make progress. Cheto darpana marjanam. The heart is like a mirror, darpana, like a mirror. And it reflects an image of the self. By looking in your heart, by a little introspection, instead of getting distracted by the whole phantasmagoria, the bright lights, you know, a little baby comes out of the womb, And, you know, he's got such a glaze on his eyes, and it's like, wow, where am I? Shh, this place, you know. He's completely, you know, bewildered and enamored. He wants to, you know, look at everything and smile at everything and, you know, touch everything. And then as we grow up, we get, you know, more and more entangled in the external world. But if we just slow down a little bit, if we just try to appreciate that it's not going to last forever, very soon it will be over, you have no guarantee how long you're going to live. You may be thinking that I will take up search of the truth when I get older. A lot of people think like that. Now I'm young. I want to have a good time. You know, every night I want to go to the disco and meet a good girl and have fun. And, you know, when I'm 95 years old, then I'll go to the Krishna temple and, you know, read Bhagavad Gita. Hey, there's no promise you're going to be 95. You know, you may only live to be 94. Then what are you going to do? You know? Actually, most people only live to about 60. Or 65 or less even. At the time you're born, they give you a birth certificate, the hospital, you know, I got one, you know, 25 pounds, you know, and blue eyes, and a birth certificate, get a birth certificate, and they give the exact time, you know, of your birth, so you can get your horoscope done. They want you to get your horoscope done. They can also give you a death certificate at the same time. They just leave the date blank, you know. Because everybody's got to die. Everything that has a beginning will have an end. Jata shihi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mrityascha. Everything has a beginning, has an end. Everything's born that dies. It dies. It could be today, it could be tomorrow. You might live to be 96, like my grandfather. Of course, by the time he was 96, he was a blabbering idiot because he was completely senile. Because he lived such a sinful life that he destroyed all his faculties, and that's another thing. But it's not quantity that we want, really. It's quality that counts. Quality of life. So if you want to come out of the darkness of thinking that you're this body, then you have to associate with devotees and hear so that you can purify, clean the mirror of the heart so you can see. You can actually see who you are. You can see the soul when your heart is purified. Prem anjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Anjana means ointment. When prem means love, prema anjana. When your eyes are filled with the ointment of love. Right now, see, I got these glasses on. I'm getting old now. I didn't wear these. I hate them, you know. So I was proud of my eyesight for so many years. But, you know, we're all looking through glasses, actually. So don't get too puffed up, you guys. We're all looking through glasses. Basically, karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. These are the glasses that we're looking through at the world. Through the eyes of lust and greed. So, when your eyes are purified and they're filled with the ointment of love of God, then you'll see the soul. But the way to cleanse, the cleansing agent, is Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord. We're all hearing and chanting too. Every one of us is hearing and chanting. The only problem is we're hearing and chanting about, you know, Mick Jagger and Bob Dylan and politics and everything mundane. We're hearing and chanting, but about the wrong things. So you can actually experience more joy, and that's our experience. Hey, here's a California boy. I mean, this man's from California. This is where, you know, serious enjoyment goes on in California, you see? And he knows that there's no happiness there. Isn't that right, Nisringananda?
That's right,
brother. That's right, okay. I got him trained up good, see? There's really no happiness in this material world, especially compared to even a little taste. I mean, I'm not a lover of God. I'm not a very advanced devotee. I don't even know if I'm a devotee. Am I a devotee in the stream? Okay. Okay, you get an extra gulab jamun. Even a little experience of Krishna consciousness is so much better than intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, the whole nine yards, you know, is so much better. A simple life with high thinking, simple living, you see, associating with people who are trying. We're not perfect. We make lots of mistakes, but we're really trying our best to be Krishna conscious, and we're pretty open about it. We try to see our mistakes, and we try to perfect them. And, you know, sometimes we even make a little progress. So it's a good society, good institution, and we need good people to come and help us and work with us. And we really appreciate that all of you have come here tonight. I mean, I'm blown away. You're all such nice people, and you're all well-to-do. You know, your city's very nice and beautiful city. I'm really impressed. And you know, you have a great country here, more? Okay. That's one of the techniques. See, you flatter the people to death, you see, and then. But we really would like you to join with us to make Ljubljana a Krishna conscious place. Even if 1% of the people are Krishna conscious. It's like it's when in India we have the monsoon rain season, you know. Monsoon means for 4 months of the year, that's all it does. Every day, night and day, it rains, you know, cats and dogs, you know. It rains. Not literally, cats and dogs don't come out of the skies. It's a California expression. They don't get any rain there, right? Never rains in California. Anyway. Only at nighttime, right? Prabhupada actually said, it's not possible to be happy in the material world, but maybe it's possible in California. Yeah, between the earthquakes, in between the earthquakes. Actually, he said it about Hawaii. That was the place he said about Hawaii. But we really like you to come and join with us in our chanting and to render devotional. So do some service too and take prasadam and be happy. And we have a nice philosophy and we really are satisfied with it ourselves. And this is not, we're not being religious fanatics. We are an educational institution. We are dealing with transcendental knowledge. We have faith, we have conviction, commitment, but it's all backed by logical, intelligent reasoning. It's meant for intelligent, good people like yourself, so we hope that, you know, you come here as often as you can. Are there any, questions or comments from our guests? Any questions at all? Yes, what's your question?
I'm trying to figure that one out for a long time. Well, first of all, you can understand. In other words, ascharyavat paschiti kaschit enam. Ascharyavat vadadita taiva chanya, ascharyavat chainam anya shrinoti, srutvapi enam vedana chaiva kaschit. An intelligent man can understand something just by hearing. Others less intelligent, they have to experience first. But an intelligent man can understand by hearing. Someone says fire is hot, it'll burn you, so he doesn't touch it. A less intelligent person has to touch it, get burned, and once burned, twice shy. He won't do it again. So if you can understand by hearing from Scripture and from authority that happiness will bind you to unhappiness, if you can understand the principle, as long as you're attached to one side of the coin, you'll have to deal with the other side also. Everybody has a certain quantity of happiness and a certain quantity of unhappiness in his life, and they're going to be coming. Nobody struggles to break his leg. You know, nobody gets up in the morning and puts on his clothes and says, I'm going to go out and break my leg today, you know. Nobody tries to do that. But it happens without trying. So similarly, the other side, happiness, you know, winning the Irish sweepstakes or, you know, whatever it is, you know, being chosen the most muscular, beautiful man in Slovenia, you know, that, whatever it is, good things will happen also automatically. Both sides are there. You're going to get both. So you have to learn how to see the relation and not get entangled, because if you enjoy the happiness, you'll also suffer the distress. That's one way. By hearing, using your intelligence and accepting, understanding the correlation. And then another way is to develop a higher taste. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. For those who are in the body, we have these senses. There are five knowledge acquiring or experiencing senses. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the tactile sense. So through these senses, we experience sense stimulation, which we have called sense gratification, which we confuse with happiness. It's only stimulation. It's just electrical impulses. But we've come to call it happiness, knowing no better, being in illusion. So, if you can develop, Krishna says there are objects of the senses, vishaya. So he says those who are embodied, they get entangled in the objects of the senses. Those who are foolish, they want to see things that will make them feel good. They want to taste, touch. So many nice things. And one man's, the amazing thing is, one man's pleasure is another man's poison. You like pizza, and I like, well that's not a good example, because everybody likes pizza, but, you know, we all have different tastes, basically. And, it's just not a very reliable way to get your happiness, because as you get older, the nerve endings in your senses become weaker. My 96-year-old grandfather could not taste his food. His tongue, everything was dead. The nerve endings were dull.
He couldn't hear. You know, you know, he couldn't hear anything. And, you know, hardly could see, and he practically, you know, he was a nice, sweet old vegetable. You know, so. He was vegetarian too, so that made it all right. But Krishna has a different formula. He says, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina raso varjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Try to develop a higher taste, Arjuna. Then you'll easily give up the lower taste. When you can appreciate that there's a greater happiness than material sukh. Krishna says, sukha dukhe same. Be equanimical. Don't let your mind get drawn into the experience of happiness or gratification. You will be gratified, and you need a certain amount of gratification. We taste food. It's not that we don't taste food. I have likes and dislikes. If, you know, if they burn the eggplant, you know, hey, I'm going to call that devotee in and chastise them like anything. I don't like, well, actually, burned eggplant is good, but anyway, there's so many things. Somebody puts too much salt in the, you know, in the sweet rice. Yeah, exactly. You know, it doesn't taste good. So we get sensual experience. You'll get good and bad, but you don't get carried away by it. Rather, you try to get your deeper experiences in life in your communion with Krishna. You try to really enjoy chanting Krishna's name and doing service for the Vaishnavas and, you know, rendering devotional service, worshiping the deity. There's so many things you can do with your senses to serve Krishna, and that's His mercy. He doesn't say, you know, stop thinking, stop feeling, stop everything, and just merge with me. You know, you become a stone. No, He says you can do everything, but do it for me. Yad karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad juhosi, dadasi, yat yatapasyasi, konte yatat kurusha mad arpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all austerities, all sacrifices, you simply put me in the center. And this is the nice thing, see? We cook a nice feast. We cook sweet rice, and we cook samosas, and pakoras, and five sabjis, and you know, sandesh and so many things, and we put it on a plate and we offer it to the Lord, and we come back an hour later and He's left everything. See, and we get to eat it too. You know, He doesn't eat much. Or actually He eats everything, but He's so expert that He's able to eat everything, but He's able to leave everything too. We haven't learned that trick yet. See, but because He's God, He knows how to do it. He can eat by hearing our prayer. Angani yasya shakalendriya vrittimanti. All of His senses are interchangeable. He can eat the food by seeing the beautiful colors, the green chutney, the red saffron sweet rice or whatever it is. He sees the devotion, yome bhakta prayachati. He eats our love when we offer Him something. He doesn't need whatever we have to offer Him. It's like trying to, you know, someone owns a huge multi-million-dollar empire. What are you going to give to him? You know, you give him a nice new automobile. He owns a car factory, you know. How are you going to turn him on, you know? But when He appreciates your sincerity and your devotion, or when you please His little five-year-old child by giving him a two-penny candy, then, oh, thank you. You know, He's pleased, you know. So we can please Krishna's devotees, and we can offer, we can do so many things to please the Lord. And practically your life will become very sublime. Your whole life, whatever you're doing, even, it doesn't matter. It's not a competition. We're not trying to say he's more advanced and he's less advanced, he's more advanced like that. your competition is against yourself. At the time of death, you know, you got to meet your maker. You know, you have to, everyone, according to your mental proclivity, your thoughts, your desires, at the time of death, you get another material body. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. So it's up to you. You have to adjust your life. You know everything best about yourself. Or maybe you can get some consultation from some advanced devotee or whatever. But the point is you have to make your own decisions, adjust your own life. But the bottom line is that at the time of death, you should be able to remember the Lord with love and devotion. Then you go back to Him. If you don't, then you'll have to, you know, take birth in the material world again, and there's no guarantee that you're going to take birth as a human being. If you act like an animal, then why should you be in a human body? If you want unlimited sex, then, you know, become a pigeon. You can do it 10 times an hour. Great, right? But then you have to live out on the trees, and you poop all over the place, and nobody likes you, and, you know. And if you want to sleep all the time, then, you know, you can be a bear and sleep for 6 months a year, you know. But if you want perfection in your life, then chant Hare Krishna and associate with devotees and render devotional service and be happy. And believe me, I was talking about the monsoon. I don't think I finished that example. It rains all the time, 4 months a year. You can't stop the rain, but if you have an umbrella, you can take shelter. So if we create a nice society here of devotees who work together, cooperate together, pray together, then, you know, even though the rain of Kali Yuga may be there, even though, you know, bad things are going on, but we'll have an umbrella, we'll have shelter, we won't get wet. So that's what we want, is a society of Krishna-conscious devotees. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.